HR Hood River on 91.9 FM and on the web at kboo.fm. The time now is 7:59, and coming up next is Positively Revolting.
Hello, this is Nicole Martin, KBOO's sound artist in residency. I am personally inviting you to the Threshold Shift audio party happening Monday, November 6th from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. at KBOO Studios on 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. We'll be celebrating all things audio, including the wrap of the Threshold Shift Sound Artist in Residency project, where you'll have a chance to meet the artist as well as the folks at the KBOO Studios who helped make it possible. We're also going to launch the Portland chapter of the Listening Lounge, an informal audio collective of sound enthusiasts that meets monthly to have a potluck and share audio that catches our ears, maybe doesn't have a project that fits it yet, or could use a fresh listen. So feel free to bring friends, ideas, and your enthusiasm for sound. No experience necessary. For more information, you can visit the Threshold Shift program page at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Big Waters Falling Up Tour, Tuesday, November 14th at 8 p.m. at the Paris Theater in Portland. Portland locals Big Water will be closing out their Falling Up Tour, featuring special guest Danielle Betancourt on the violin. Big Water will also be sponsoring a feeding for houseless people through AMA Global Care and the Paris Theater. Again, that's Big Water's Falling Up Tour, Tuesday, November 14th at 8 p.m. at the Paris Theater, 6 Southwest 3rd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Romeo is Bleeding is a documentary that follows Dante Clark, a young poet transcending the violence in his hometown of Richmond, California, by writing about his experiences. Dante and the like-minded youth of the city mount an urban adaptation of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, with the hope of starting a dialogue about violence in the city. PDX Poetic Justice's John Slaughter and his group of poets will be reading some of their works before the screening. Again, that's KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought, tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio here in Portland and to Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm your guest host this morning, Linda Olson Osterlund. Ani and Lynn, our wonderful long-term hosts, will be back in a couple weeks. And I want to thank you all for being the audience that you've been that's so great for this program. I'm an audience most of the time listening in from my home, and I sometimes call in as well. And I know that there's a large audience of people who follow Positively Revolting and take part in it. So thank you for that. Today we have a program for you about what has Trump already managed to do? What has Trump already done that has set us back in this in the world, actually? And I wanted to do a show like this because it's so hard to keep track of the of all of the different changes being wrought at the same time as all the tweets that are, you know, part of that. And so I thought, I have such a hard time keeping track of this. And I came across a good list of what has already been done and what's been, what they've threatened to do, et cetera. And that list is on a, with an organization called Refuse Fascism. The website is refusefascism.org. And in there, they have crimes that have been committed by the administration. There is, this organization is calling for demonstrations on November 4th, tomorrow. And there is one here in Portland, as well as something like 18 other cities. I'll give you the details of that information later if you're interested. But what I want to focus on is the crimes of this administration already, and what do they mean to us? Can we afford to wait for an election to have this regime out? I know the indictments a couple days ago heartened some people that it could come faster. And so that's something we can talk about as well. Now, this is a talk show, meaning it's a call-in talk show, not just a I get to talk show. And so I want to give you that number right now. I will do an introduction of some of the crimes, going through some different categories of them before I open the phone lines. But I want you to know that you are going to be welcome to talk about these and to bring up your own points of views. The number to call, so you might want to jot it down now, is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. You know, the main statement of this organization, Refuse Fascism, is no, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Drive out the Trump-Pence regime. And so then they list the crimes of these things. And I'm going to start with crimes against women and LGBTQ people. Those are prominent. And I want you to know that I have much longer lists than I'm going to read you, but I'm going to hit at some of the main ones, and then we can talk about those as well. So one of the first things that I want to say is they signed a law giving the states the option to deny funding for Planned Parenthood and other organizations that provide legal abortions. They're actually a full-out assault on legal abortions. They illegally, and this I'm quoting, outrageously blocked a 17-year-old woman named Jane Doe, called Jane Doe, from obtaining an abortion she needed and has the right to acquire. She has now been able to get that, but only through lots of force, and we know that there are pretty probably many other people that are being denied abortions as well. And so this, he's taken a firm, and there's all sorts of actions being taken to do that. He's slashed funding to combat, the administration has slashed funding to combat HIV and AIDS in the world's poorest countries by over 17%. He revoked the executive order 13673 that requires that companies receiving large federal contracts demonstrate that they have complied with laws that prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender, and stereotyping. Probably his most egregious and very famous is he tweeted that transgender people will be banned from the U.S. military because they are a burden. Those are some of the ones against women and against LGBT people. But let's talk about, and I want to go into that HIV/AIDS thing. They have proposed huge cuts to the National Institute of Health, including $550 million cuts to HIV/AIDS research. And they've also proposed an $800 million cut from the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief. So he's very much going after what he thinks is a gay issue, AIDS, but of course it isn't. We know that that's not predominantly who gets AIDS now, but it shows like that, and he's speaking to his base. A top Department of Education official said they are reconsidering how they investigate charges of campus rape because she claims 90% of the accusations fall into the category of we are both drunk. So, you know, that's just a little bit of what they've done to women. Let's talk about civil liberties. The Trump and Pence machine are really trying to crack down on people who are protesting or demonstrating. They have 230 defendants face up to 70 more years in prison. These are defendants from a large Washington, D.C. demonstration, and they're charging them with felonies. And they're also demanding massive and detailed information on visitors to a website that was used to organize those protests. The site, so the site's web hosting provider says complying would amount to handing over to roughly 1.3 million visitors. U.S. agents now regularly search cell phones and other electronic devices of people traveling internationally. They do it at a rate 4 times higher than in 2015. The head of the Department of Homeland Security said visitors to the U.S. should be required to give up their online passwords. That's not been made a rule yet. The Trump regime has regularly attacked an important part of our civil liberties, which is a free press, threatening individual reporters, news outlets, et cetera, even threatening to pull the license from NBC for what he said was fake news. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions has launched an aggressive campaign to identify and prosecute people who leak information to the press. So these are some of the things that they've done in that way. What they've said they plan to do is, one of them is, if they can get hold of Edward Snowden, execute him. They also have said that he believes that journalists who publish classified information that was classified should be jailed for publishing it. He's also gone really after academic freedom. Progressive professors have been subject to a lot more online threats, et cetera. There's a new Georgia law that says, it's called the Back to the Badge Act of 2017, and it criminalized various acts of resisting police or jailing authorities. In Alabama, the state Senate is criminalizing mass picketing aimed at blocking access to the streets and the highways, airports, or train tracks and places of business and private residents with misdemeanors punishable by up to a year in prison, $2,500 fine. And if you don't remember or didn't get to see, here in Portland, when people went to demonstrate and locked themselves down with plastic pipes at an ICE headquarters on McAdam and Bancroft, the people who were locked together were hooded and muffled. They had earphones put over their head and hoods put over their head, very reminiscent of Guantanamo. And Trump has tweeted that he wants to send the person who they hold responsible for the New York attack with a truck to Guantanamo. No big surprise that we see them using Guantanamo tactics here, but you know, hooding and muffling is a form of torture. It's sensory deprivation. They made up a lie about why they did it, but the pictures are out and you can see it. So when we talk about civil liberties, the attacks against them have gone unabated. There's also a section in this list of crimes of the administration is crimes of Trump and Pence against the world. The U.S. is waging war right now in one form or another in 6 countries: Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Libya, and Somalia. And let's not forget that we all now know we have something like 4,000 to 6,000 troops in Africa, and that they're carrying out direct action as we saw with 4 of them getting killed in Niger. U.S. has stepped up its threats against Iran. There's been a staggering increase in the number of civilians killed by U.S. military this year, and that's not something I think we hear very much about. In Iraq, Syria and Iraq, it's anywhere from 2,300 to 3,000 civilians, over 1,000 in March alone. And in that same front, we have the United States is supplied white phosphorus munitions. White phosphorus is illegal to use anywhere in the world in a war. It rains down as a powder that burns all the way through to the bone. And so it's a very, it's an illegal substance. And we did use it in Iraq in the past. And apparently we're supplying it and using it now. Who mostly will get hit by that will be civilian. Civilian casualties throughout the world have increased wherever we're doing our work. We also dropped, let's not forget this, the world's largest ever non-nuclear bomb in Afghanistan in April, weighing 11 tons and nicknamed the Moab. If we want to go on to this, we are continuously threatening North Korea and all of the people who live in those areas. You can't threaten North Korea with nuclear bomb without saying that South Korea will go and many other people will go. So those are just a tiny bit of the crimes against humanity as a whole. There's also a section on the environment. Well, we withdrew from the U.S. Paris International Climate Agreement immediately. That's one of the first things. The other thing is, contrary to scientific consensus, EPA head Scott Pruitt denied on national TV that carbon dioxide and burning fossil fuels is the main cause of global warming. They've also approved the use of chloropyrifos. It's a pesticide that's known to harm children's brains and nervous systems. That's right. Trump doesn't leave our children alone, not in any way. He's going to make them exposed to more poisons. That includes, they've rescinded the Obama Clean Power Plan, which puts restriction on carbon emissions and new existing power plants. In fact, they're saying that they plan on putting the emphasis on giving it back to coal. So there, you know, that's just a tiny bit. They've also really slashed the budget for the EPA, and most recently, they have taken all mentions of climate off the EPA's website. No, you can't have the word climate on the EPA's website. Let's go on. The Muslim ban, the continuous attempt to use the Muslim ban, the way that they're going ahead and implementing aspects of that, even though it is called illegal. Even though it's been ruled not legal through various courts repeatedly. ICE, we can talk about ICE. They're targeting more people. They have a list of 1,444 deportable Iraqis, they're bragging. They plan to deport 4,801 Somali immigrants that are on this same list. And this is ICE acting against Muslims, not ICE acting against all immigrants, which they are. I happened to come across a video the other day that was individuals refusing to show their ID to Border Patrol. And this was Border Patrol setting up checkpoints over 100 miles from the border, and sometimes others 25 or 30 miles from the border. Not the people that they were being stopped, and where the checkpoint went wasn't just a direct route to the border. It came from many other places. And so they would stop and pull over people. And there are these great videos of people. One was a woman, a teacher with her child in the car, and she went on and on and on and would not let them have her give her ID. She said, no, go ahead and hold me here. Am I held? Can I go? And over again, the Border Patrol had to let these people go because they can't legally hold them. And each one of them had a good handle on their rights. But it tells you something really strongly, that there are checkpoints far away from the border. This is something that they're also planning with expanded border control and dollars that will go into that. So, you know, I think I've given you a pretty good list to start with. If you're out there and awake, this is positively revolting radio, talk radio here on KBOO. And I'd like to open it to you, the audience, you, the listener. The number to call is 503-231-8187. What do you think? Can we wait till the next election? Could we do anything different if we didn't wait for the next election? How much damage will already be consolidated and in place? So the phone number again is 503-231-8187. Call in with what the most egregious crimes you think the Trump regime has. What's your favorite? Oh my God, can you believe they did that? And by favorite, I don't mean to take it lightly. I know that these changes are affecting so many people directly and personally. Anyway, I'd like to hear from you about these crimes. I think it's a really important issue. How much is already getting done? Once again, the number is 503-231-8187. One of the things that is going on in terms of anti-immigrant is there's a barrage of Republican anti-immigrant bills now in Congress. And one is the Davis-Oliver Act, which, among other things, would turn civil immigration infractions into criminal violations punishable by prison. That would mean that everybody who's undocumented could be immediately arrested and and deported. So they're moving to want to do that so that they can make the, they said they're going to call them all criminals, and the criminals are going to be criminals simply because they're here without documents, which is not really a crime. I believe we have Mimi on the line. Mimi, hi.
Hi, thanks for the show today. I wanted to bring it back to the local level with something that you did bring up, and thanks for bringing it up, which is the ICE protest and the hoods that were used against the protesters. I found that horrifying. And I know that there were some protesters who were saying, well, you know, we kind of believed that it was to our benefit that the cops were doing that because the cops told us that they were going to be using this loud equipment and machinery. To me, they were responding, the way that I look at it is that they were responding from a place of terrorism. The hoods and the threats made by the cops that they were going to use machinery against, you know, to free the protesters from each other from being interlocked is a terrorist tactic. And they didn't use anything like that. They didn't need to use anything like that. It was a fear tactic that our police are using against protesters. The fact that they used hoods was deplorable. And I took as an action against this, we made hoods the same, well, as much of a replica as we could, and we wore them at City Council the following Wednesday.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. Good for you.
So it's online on City Council. And anyway, we wanted to say to them that we will not tolerate this kind of terror tactic play by our police against protesters. And what ended up happening was City Council the following week accepted the request from Chief Outlaw to hire a new new person for her, a co-chief, you know, so that she could have somebody in between herself and the mayor, or between herself, the truth, and the people. And we wore those hoods again to show them that you have to stop accepting everything that the cops are telling you. This is to the City Council, because what the cops are doing is a reflection on what Trump is doing, which is what you were saying, which is so correct. And what our city is doing as a reflection of what Trump is doing is allowing police to continue this reformation against our rights.
I agree. I think it's very
Trump nation.
I think it's very dangerous, and I don't think it was a coincidence that they did the hooding just approximately a week after Sessions had been here telling the police that they had better go ahead with enforcing ICE issues, enforcing deportations, holding people for deportations. And then a week later, they used this tactic that's a Guantanamo tactic. I think it came from Homeland Security, to be honest. Homeland Security is part of most of the demonstrations now in terms of the law enforcement side of it.
We said the same thing at City Council right after that happened. The signs that we held were, sanctuary cities do not look like Guantanamo.
That's great. Those are great signs. Is there an organization you want to mention that was taking those actions?
No, just work. I work on my own.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thank you very much for calling in. I do think that is, we shouldn't even begin, you know, we shouldn't for a moment think that the kinds of actions that they're taking there won't go ahead and won't be increased and be done more frequently. The fact that they're holding 230, they're not holding them still, that they arrested 230 people on criminal felony charges for a protest that did not involve any violence means that they're taking this very seriously. And if that goes through, that opens it everywhere. And each thing that the Trump regime does further unleashes the right wing or fascist forces in all the different states. And so we have these big changes being made on a federal level, but we also have states coming up with all sorts of damaging and dangerous laws to stop civil disobedience, and one of the greatest crimes that I have not mentioned yet, and not because it is least or last, is white supremacy. The whole upsurge of white supremacy, that we have a white supremacist regime in power, and that is they're attempting to normalize their overt, I think, open racism.
eloquently said. And the thing is that our city council is falling right in line with all of that, with the KKK, with white supremacy in Portland, with the status of our state, and with Sessions. And if people don't pick themselves up and get to city council or write letters, our city is so quickly devolving into a fascist city. I mean, we're there now.
Well, in terms of police response, they certainly are willing to pull out fascist tactics when they want to. They like to do the little we're a friendly cop on the ones that they think won't involve, you know, that aren't too radical or won't be seen by too many people. But the rest of the time, they armor up in a way that should never be seen on our streets.
That's right. They started that during Occupy when all of the new army military gear went to every city under Obama. And they started the practice of that, and they started kettling during that time to oppress free speech. And it's just gotten worse. And now we're at the point of being hooded.
That's right. Yeah. For carrying out your First Amendment rights. That
right.
It is. It's a very creepy, scary, but very serious time when they're doing this kind of thing. Yeah, I really appreciate your call and you're looking into this.
Thank you.
I think we're all in much more danger than we're being told. Much more danger than we can quite realize.
Well, I'm going to let somebody else speak, but thanks for the show today. And I just encourage people, please go down to City Council every Wednesday, because every Wednesday there is something that is corrupting our city every single Wednesday, and your voice is necessary to testify against it.
You know, one thing I want to say about that, Mimi, that I think is also really important is that, you know, one of the things that happens to politicians who are liberal or progressive is they get in office or they get in position, and then someone from the police or the FBI says, look it, I've got to bring you in on this confidentially and tell you why we acted this way. And then they show them some, you know, these people are really anarchists, or these people really want to tear down the thing, and they show them some supposed proof. And that way they recruit these people to their side. When you mentioned the Occupy thing, I want to remind people, or tell them if they did not know, that the way that Occupy was responded to, literally, when did the police go in? When did they break it apart? What did they say to the press? Was orchestrated by Homeland Security, and I have the emails, the redacted emails gotten by another organization that prove that Portland was part of that, working all together. And I think that's really obvious that they're doing that again. I believe we have a couple other callers. Martin.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Linda, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out one point, is that demonstrations are very American. When the patriots, when Americans, they held many demonstrations against the British, including the Boston Tea Party.
That's right.
This is what this country was founded on, and what these people are doing is just denying all that.
Yes, I think that's right. They're attempting to subdue us, and a lot of this extreme law enforcement has been to gather IDs, like the June 4th protests that were against the fascists coming to Portland. At that point, the police gathered a bunch of people at the end and held them and made them put their driver's license up next to their face and took a picture of them. They're doing that kind of gathering of data and collection for one reason, to have a label on us, to know who we are. And we are therefore labeled in Oregon, which is illegal, but we are labeled in some way that's scary by law enforcement. And they can use that in the future to go after us.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to take away one of America's best best ways of acting.
Yeah, exactly.
The government.
Yeah. And especially, you know, that they're overwhelmingly nonviolent.
Yeah. I completely agree, and I hope Trump is out of here before his term is up.
Yes. You know, there's one other point I wanted to make about the way that they're doing this policing. On the 230 defendants who face up to 70 years in prison, the government is demanding massive and detailed information on all visitors to the website that helped organize that. There was 1.3 million visitors to that address. They're demanding all of that information. It's very scary, the kinds of actions that they're taking.
Sounds like Nazi Germany in the 1930s.
It does, and that's why, you know, I do believe that fascism is an appropriate title, not because it's just like Germany, but because they're acting like fascists. And I agree with this refusefascism.org in that this is a qualitative new step. This isn't just a quantitative step, just getting a little worse. It's actually a reforming of the whole government and how it responds, and they're doing it very aggressively. You know, just, you know, everything from our health care. We're all literally in danger because of this regime. Anything else, Martin?
Oh, no, that's all. Thank you for the topic today, and thanks a lot. I'll go off now.
Thanks. All right, thanks, Martin.
Yeah.
And now I think we have Dennis on the line. And once again, everybody else, that number is 503-231-8187. I want to hear from you.
Hello?
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Trump has been doing has caused some people to compare him to Joe McCarthy. Now, it's interesting that in the case of Joe McCarthy, he was brought down by members of his own party. It's interesting members of the Republican Party, including Senator Corker and Senator Flake, have made speeches that were really condemning some of the things he was doing. And I would like, I'm 79. So I can remember some of the things that were going on with Joe McCarthy, and one of the people who spoke out against him, if you maybe remember, or you can go on the website to find out, was a Vermont senator named Ralph Flanders, and he made a speech on the floor of the Senate, which really was instrumental in leading toward McCarthy's ouster. And if we just had more people like that, it would be wonderful. And maybe we can ask people, of course, this day and age is much different with the Internet and so on, but if we could ask people to contact their senators, especially, senators of all stripes, to do something. Thank you. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. And I believe we have Sean on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Hi. Does it sound okay? I'm on speakerphone.
You sound okay to me.
Okay. Well, listen, I just wanted to quickly point out, you know, we forget about Portland signing up with the Joint Terrorism Task Force when I can't remember the fellow's name who basically I feel was set up in terms of, you know, the so-called potential bombing at the square downtown. And, you know, in doing that has helped to set this whole thing up to a grand scale. When they signed up to work with the FBI, I mean, you're leading right into the very topic you're talking about right now.
Yes, I think that's accurate. And I think that one of the things I think a lot of people sort of say, oh, I wish we could go back to at least Obama. But, you know, I don't believe that. Obama was a perfect setup for now. I mean, there's, you know, the direction that our government has been going, in one way, has been this ongoingly. And now it's allowed it to take this leap.
Well, it even goes back to the very so-called first Iraq war. You know, I think it was in Mother Earth that they had a great article back then that,
I'm sorry, I just lost you. Are you there? I think we had a technical glitch and we just lost Sean.
Are you there?
Yeah, there you are, Sean.
Oh, I'm sorry. So So what I was saying was, I think it even goes back not only first Iraq War, but even the Vietnam War, that, you know, after showing the body bags and the press having a lot of access to what was actually going on and seeing what it instilled in the public, they decided at that point in time they were going to take the press out of it. They were going to take people out of it as much as they can, which is basically what they have been doing for, you know, really decades now. And, you know, I don't know if you saw that the gentleman who was just on mentioned Senator Flake, but I don't know if you saw...
He was fairly eloquent in his...
Well, he made that, you know, they printed the commentary in the Oregonian here recently. And I think this is something we all really have to take responsibility and take seriously, because he points out it is time to stand up against what's going on. And literally, I mean, it's enough doing armchair politics. And if we really want to make a difference, you know, there's this whole debate about whether protest, you know, matters or not, or marching. But the fact is, we are going to have to get off our behinds, and we're literally going to have to take this to the streets if we really want to affect change. And, you know, if we're not going to show our faces out there and be serious, and we're going to be afraid of our government, then that gives them more power. And so I think what he simply said is that we literally need to put a stop to it. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is literally putting ourselves on the line.
I think that, you know, whether that's fortunate or unfortunate, that's accurate. And I think that not everybody will be able to get out on the street. Maybe they're physically not able or fear. But I think that as many as possible have to. If there is a way to take this government back, yeah, or and into new hands, it's going to involve a lot of people on the street, millions,
yeah, and
millions.
You know, I mean, the pictures and just, you know, this resurgence of the interest in Vietnam is, I think, part of that is I'm more than happy to put myself in the line on behalf of others who can't or afraid to or whatever. But the fact is that did make a huge difference, which is why it scared the hell out of the government to do some of the things that they did. But that's the very reason, is it puts pressure and it shows that people aren't afraid of the government. But unfortunately, I think since then, people have become complacent, and they've also bought into the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to stop buying into the fear, and we need to take that back and then use that in a good way. But a big part of that is we need to get ourselves back out on the streets and showing in numbers that, you know, if we're going to have a true democracy, if we're going to say this is our country, yet we keep turning it more and more over to those who decide that they, you know, it's like Charles Koch said, you know, I want my share, and that's all of it. And that's the way they look at it.
Yeah, it's amazing that people can say something like that straight out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate your call, Sean. I think that what you're saying is really important.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You too. I believe we have Mike on the line.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you, Linda. I am just really amazed. What I want to know is, how are these people that get in the power, the congressmen, the senators, you know, the House of Representatives, they get in there and they put up with this corruption and they see this guy's bad. What can we do? I mean, can we count on people to decipher what they're seeing on TV? Is the Blitz going to go bad again in the midterms? What can we do to, you know, we've got very few media outlets.
That's right. Mike, do you have access to the internet?
Yes, I could, yes.
Yeah, I think...
Go to the library.
Oh, great, yeah. Well, go to the... I'm going to just give you this one site, not because it should be your only site, but because I think it's really good about the topic we're talking about, which is Refuse. It's called refusefascism.org. It's as simple as that, those two words together.
R-E-F-U-S-E. Fascism.
Fascism. It's F-A-S-C-I-S-M.
S-A-S-C-H. I am. You mean fascism?
Yeah, fascism. Refusefascism.org.
.org. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
and they have a lot of ideas about what we can do, because each individual can play a role that's specific to their own. I don't think there's any way that we're going to, if, you know, many of the emails that I get are from Democratic organizations, from the Democratic Party. And I do not trust them. I will support them to the extent that they're actually really resisting this. But, you know, we went from Bush to Obama and back to this. So let's think about, the Democrats have had plenty of opportunity to play a role in a different way. And I don't believe that they really will. I think we have to have people in the streets saying what we want a lot more than waiting for a great senator or congressperson to take the lead.
Well, I'll go on to this site, but I'm just amazed. The mass of people that go to work every day, come home, get their TV dinner, sit in front of their TVs. What are they watching? How do they get duped like this? What is going on?
Well, and partly they haven't been educated in critical thinking. We don't do that in our schools and anymore. I did want to say that the same organization does have one of the crimes. They is in the name of humanity. We indict Fox Fascist News, and they really do go into depth about why Fox News is a dangerous force and really the voice of the fascists right now to the masses of people, and that it does have an impact in how people think. I want to give you the phone number again. It's 503-231-8187.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mike?
I guess that's good. It's just so overwhelming right now, but I will definitely get on that website. I don't understand why Rupert Murdoch doesn't have indictments coming out against him. And I guess it's because he's in bed with the politicians, I suppose.
I think you're probably right about that, Mike, and it is really frustrating. I think it's going to all come back to each one of us as an individual taking the actions we think are appropriate.
What about that? Is Ted Turner still alive?
You know, I don't really know.
Why isn't he doing something? Is he totally right-wing, too?
Well, I don't know where he used to fall on that. Well, Mike, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. We have another caller on the line, and I want to let people know what's coming up today on KBOO. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Linda.
So coming up on KBOO at 9 on Pacific Underground, we'll hear from a photographer, Celeste Noche, about representation in the media, freelancing, and her project, Portland in Color. At 10, it's the premiere of Valley Views, a weekly forum for people and places in the Central Willamette Valley with host Dale Holliday. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, it's a Radio Geekly, celebrating Indigenous Peoples Month with a report from Jackie Malmstrom on Indigenous Comic-Con. And KBOO is your independent source for news, as you well know, news and entertainment. If you're listening to our music, and even our radio theater, you know that. So many of you supported us by becoming members. I want to invite the rest of you to become a member. Just go to kboo.fm and click on donate. If you're listening to us on your computer, you can see it right there on the homepage in red. I believe we have another caller on the line. It's Susan.
Yes, this is Susan. And I just would refer you, as well as any listeners, to check out the Rose City Antifa Facebook page. They just posted an article from Mike, M-I-C, kind of an online news source, I guess, regarding the group that you were mentioning about fascism and its relationship with the Revolutionary Communist Party, RCP, and how, a little bit of the history about that and how they're related to some of our groups that are the anti-fascist groups. You know, raised some concerns, quite frankly, about both of those groups.
What was your concern?
Well, the article pointed out some of how these groups sometimes just piggyback onto other groups, and that, for example, this weekend on Saturday is quite a big deal on the alt-right. They believe that on November 4th, and a lot of the alt-right media venues are concerned that this is going to be the start of a civil war, and it's really taking very few people's movement. I'm sure there.
Well,
many
I should let me fill you in on a little bit of what I do know. I do know that it's a coalition of people. I know that people like Debbie Missler and Rosie O'Donnell signed on, and I'm quite sure they're not communists. They signed on to the call to action.
Sure, they're communists.
But no, let me finish the rest of it. And okay. They are unequivocally and have been over and over again nonviolent. They do not call for violence. They do not want violence on their demonstrations. They don't believe that we can get where we need to go with any form of violence on our demonstrations. They also were supportive of Antifa as it came in under attack around the nation on various news sites and stuff, because they wanted to say, and they make this point again and again, is that this is a time for broad coalition. We just need to unite on getting this regime out. And I believe that that's what they're actually about, and that I know that there are people in the Seattle one that are not members of any other particular organization, but have come forward to be part of this because they're very sure that this is the wrong regime. I don't think anybody should be afraid of participating with this organization, and certainly everything they'd want to know about it is out there on the site, refuse.org, who the people are who started it, who are the people that are involved. There is an involvement of members from the Revolutionary Communist Party. Carl Dix, who I interviewed on KBOO about 2 weeks ago, is a spokesman for the Revolutionary Communist Party. But I don't believe that that's the majority of people, and I don't believe that that should stop anything. You should look for the actual actions and expressions from this organization as a cue to what's going to happen.
I would just refer you to the MIC, the Mike article.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree. I'm sure there's many, you know, people that are well-intentioned, but I would just say that we want to make sure we're working with our local organizations and supporting them. So thank you for taking the
call. Yeah, and I think it's really important that we do scrutinize who we're participating with, so I appreciate that angle of it from Susan. But, you know, from my point of view, it's all out there on the refusefascism.org that you can go to look at it and you can read and make up your own mind. They are having a demonstration here in Portland as part of the November 4th demonstrations. My understanding of why that date, November 4th, was because it's the closest to a year for this regime being in power, that they could find a good Saturday on to get people out into the streets. And so that's why that date was selected. It is happening in 19 cities. I think it'll be fairly big in the Bay Area from the woman that I heard on Davy D. That's another thing you can do, is listen to last night's Hard Knock Radio news and views off of KPFA and hear a person speak about these demonstrations. So the demonstration here in Portland is going to be at Jameson Square Fountain tomorrow at 2 p.m. They make when it's going to end as going out very long. They're saying they're going to be there from November 4th to November 11th. I don't know if that's going to actually happen, but the goal of the organization is to have people, us, create a political crisis large enough to force the administration out. Do you think that's possible? If you're out there listening, what about these indictments that came down? Do you think it's possible to stop this regime now or any time before the next election or even in the next election? Please do call in. It's 503-231-8187. And since we don't have another caller on the line right now, I'll go ahead and read you a few more of the crimes of this administration. I want to talk about how the regime has been responding to immigrants, and I'm not talking specifically about Muslims. There's a whole section on that as well, but immigration as a whole. One of Trump's first acts was an executive order that targeted the 11 million undocumented immigrants for deportation. Arrests of immigrants are already up 40% from the record highs under Obama. Every day since Trump and Pence have come into office, over 400 people have been ripped away from their lives and families, I'm reading this, by Customs and ICE. And I don't know if you've been able to see any of the, even our own mainstream news media has covered some of that, any of the film of the way the ICE people are coming. They're completely in plain clothes. They just look like some people heading out to Walmart for the day. And they come up to people in all sorts of circumstances, after a school play, after, going to the court to to pay a ticket, something like that. And they stand out there and they go up and they just take people. And they refuse to show their ID. They say they're not legally obligated to show their ID. We've seen that what they want to do to protesters who want to protest ICE, they hooded them here in Portland, if you didn't hear about it. Also, I want to read a part of a quote from Jeff Sessions. He was talking about the U.S.-Mexico border, and he wrote, "It is here on this sliver of land where we first take our stand against this filth." Against this filth. That's who the immigrants are to him. Filth. He's filth. He's a psychotic white supremacist, and he is our attorney general, and he is moving forward with all of these fascist actions. I do believe we have another caller on the line.
Hello?
Karen. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. Thank you, Linda, for what you're doing. I just wanted to add a little perspective about what we've lost under this regime. And that is that we've lost our regulatory apparatus, the EPA, the FDA. We've lost support structures like HUD, and of course DeVos's eroding of the public school system, and everywhere we look, whether it's Department of Energy or whether it's any of the other cabinet positions, we're seeing a dismantling of the regulatory state and the state that provides services to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And what that says to me is that it goes back to what you were saying, each of us has to determine where we're going to stand in this, that there is a place for people to still be involved in democratic politics. I did it in the past. I'm not there now, but I do think there is a place for it, because under the Democrats, you do not have, for example, chlorpyrifos being okayed as a pesticide in unregulated.
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
And it, chlorpyrifos damages migrant workers. It damages children. It damages people, and so on and so forth. So there are so many dangers that are threatening us that we have to have a multi-pronged approach.
Multi-pronged. I agree with you. I do agree with you about that.
Yeah, and I've been in the streets plenty, and I go to the ICE demonstrations, and I go to the, you know, I went up to NorCor last weekend. I'm very concerned with the status of immigrants.
Yeah, and thank you for all your actions.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. This is your show is every bit as important as anything in the street. But thank you so much. I just wanted to just put that perspective in of what we consider to be mainstream.
I agree. We do have to be multi-pronged. I guess I just kind of look at it like we had Bush, and then we didn't take back what we lost under Bush.
That's very true.
And then we had Obama, and we just added to it. You know, we expanded where we're waging wars around the country. Hillary Clinton was a very competent Secretary of State, and we have those bases in Africa to her testimony. And that by that I mean she's a very good imperialist, not somebody that I would want leading my country. So we've only had, I never see the Democrats actually taking it back. And as a matter of fact, after Bush and in Bush, they made sure that they were exempt from any crimes that they may have committed by being knowledgeable about torture. So, but I don't think that that means that there aren't occasions and individual people running for office that we should not support. I support Merkel in many and most of his actions.
Me too. I'm on board with what you just said, all of it, and I think it's just a struggle. Once the genie was out of the bottle, war in Iraq, wars plural, and then the resistance that developed all through the Muslim world to the killing of Muslims, and then we demonized them and so on and so forth, and it's just gone from one country to the next. And there seems to be no stopping it with this kind of mentality towards our, quote, enemies. Anyway, I hope you have a beautiful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Karen. I believe we have Steve on the line.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Hi, Steve. We're starting to run a little bit out of time, but not completely. So go ahead and say what you say, but say it succinctly.
Yeah, I just like what you're talking about tonight or today, the list of crimes that can be committed. So I just wanted to point out a couple of things. Where Al Capone got put in prison, tax evasion. Mm-hmm. Where they're going after Manafort, tax evasion. Ironically, it would be interesting if Donald Trump and his family would now, like we all have to do, disclose all of the companies that they own, trademarks coming out of China. So this new tax proposal he's putting together, where he says the middle class is going to get all these cuts, I wonder how all of his family's businesses that are all trademarked over in China, bringing products in for the little, you know, website companies, are going to benefit with the tax break. One point. Second, interestingly enough, your point on the race war crimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the murders that we've had a couple years ago when we formed Occupy and Black Lives Matters. We had black people being shot right on our streets on camera. And recently, to keep the terror fear and idea going, they're starting to do the crimes right here, where in the last three instances, we had three white people that did crimes, Las Vegas, Virginia, and then same day, the New York, Walmart, Colorado. None of them were called terrorists. So this guy is breaching his own oath that he took, because his... we're not being protected anymore by domestic terrorism, because domestic terrorism is alive and well in America. So he's violating his oath, because his oath was to protect against both foreign and domestic. So he's calling foreign terrorism, and we're fighting against that, as you pointed out, all over the world. Now we know in Africa, and ignoring his oath of protecting against domestic terrorism. So those are my points.
Well, I really appreciate it. I think that's really important. You know, I'm not being able to find it in my paperwork here, but one of the things that's coming out that I think is very scary is the way that African Americans and others are being talked about, and the way that they're trying to, there's one thing where they call them extreme, I'm trying to find it, they rename the Black Lives Matter movement as extreme something.
Predators or something.
Yeah, and I'm not finding it right here. I'm sorry, I'm not. But it's very clear that they're targeting them, and I think extreme identity crimes or something like that, extreme identity crimes. And they're trying to make it like this whole new category that if you actually resist your oppression as a person of color in this nation, you get to be thrown in jail. And that's always been true to some extent, but it's more true now, and they want to make it even more so. It's a very dangerous time for all of us.
Yeah, see, the irony for me is, I'm not trying to say that I'm more aware than anybody else, but I'm retired military, and I was trained in Special Operations Forces, Rangers, as a medic. And the interesting thing to me is what today looks like to me in my own country, in my own border, is those events that we've seen, these mass shootings, they look more like training exercises that I did in the 80s. Because in order to be able to be prepared in a situation like we see going on in our streets, you have to have real experiences. So it just looks like, for example, how on earth did a guy in Manhattan drive this vehicle down like he did? And then when he got out, we saw on national television, he got out wielding BB gun and a freaking paintball gun, and they shot him in the stomach. Let's look at the last few instances where a black individual, a person of color, was stopped for a traffic stop, or Tamir Rice, when the police rolled up on him and he had a toy gun. They blasted the kid. This guy got shot once after riding down the street, murdering people in a van. He gets out wielding So this guy wasn't a terrorist. That's my point.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I appreciate what you're saying. Steve, I now need to go to William.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. William, are you there?
I am, Linda. Thank you.
You've got about 2 minutes.
Great. Well, I just wanted to say that one of my teachers says change comes from within,
mm-hmm.
and we can reduce our support of the empire and all of this cruelty by cutting back on our animal consumption or going vegetarian or dairy-free or going vegan. And I don't hear those words as much as I would like to on KBOO. And also gardening, being a producer or helping a farmer. We all eat, and we're concerned. You know, there's a lot of organic farmers out there, whether they're certified or not, that need help. It's
you know, William,
never ending.
I hear what you're saying, but and I do think those are things people should be engaged in for themselves in terms of the. How we look into the future gardening, but I don't see that those actions could go on whether or not we had a fascist regime or not is the truth. You know, Germany went on.
That's
many
correct.
People went on with
yeah.
their lives, and we need to stop the rolling forward of the fascist regime and grow our gardens, I guess is what I want to say.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And also, you know, we can help by feeding people who are homeless or trying to
yes.
figure out a way to shelter them. We can also stop or cut back on our air travel, which is environmentally devastating, and as well as cars and designing cities for people and not cars, people and bikes.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, William. I think we have run out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to say the information I was bringing you was from refusefascism.org. Go to that, or go to, if you're interested in the demonstration here or in Seattle, you can go to Facebook and look at Refuse Fascism PDX or Refuse Fascism Seattle. Once again, thank you, audience, and thanks to Ray Bodville, our wonderful engineer who's been helping us this morning.
Let me tell you the story of a soldier named Dan.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Art of the Protest Song, Sunday, November 12th at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland. The Art of the Protest Song partners the Oregon Historical Society with four local folk musicians to present a showcase of popular and topical protest songs from the Kennedy era, as well as original songs focused on contemporary issues. This event is free and open.